Once I get God's attention, I get what God has. And he's speaking peace to his people. So it says he smiles down upon you. Righteousness smiles down from heaven, or God smiles down from heaven. Now, notice what happens. The very next verse says here. And righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and the land will yield its increase. Now, God will give what is good, or God will pour down a blessing. God will empower. See, when God starts smiling upon your life, because you have decided to let truth rise up in there, then guess what? He begins to approve of it. And when he approves of it, he empowers it. And when it's empowered, it gives increase. Increase is a result of it. When your children at home do what you say, that's being righteous. When they do what you say, don't you approve of it? You smile upon that. You approve upon of that. And what happens? You want to do something for them. See, sometimes we make living for God hard, and it's not. God just says, do what I tell you to do. I love you, and I'm going to help you get this done, but just do what I tell you to do. And it says that when you begin to let his word take precedent in your life and rise up in there, then he's going to smile down on it. And when he smiles on it, he's going to allow it to be empowered through the blessing. And when it's empowered through the blessing, increase is coming. What's increase? Peace. Because when increase show up, something's getting ready to be restored. Because peace means, you know, nothing missing, nothing broken. So now God's smiling up on my life now. Here. And then it says here that righteousness shall go before him and shall make his footsteps a way in which to walk. Now, once God has given the peace and the peace is there and it's functioning and it's operating, he says, now, righteousness is going to go before you. Now, who was the righteous one? Jesus. Jesus already went before us, because this was a prophetical word. Jesus has already come, has already gone before us and shown us how to walk. And as long as we step where he stepped and walk where he walked, we have what he has. And Jesus says, I've given you my peace. But in order for you to live in my peace, you got to live like I lived, say what I say, and act like I act. So God is saying here, I've spoken peace to my people. And if my people will obey me, hear me, obey me, follow me, live for me, then I'm going to love them. And when I love them, peace is going to be the result. Now, I'm excited about this peace. I'm excited about wholeness. Now that I see that I have a right to it, I'm supposed to live in it. God has made a covenant promise to me about it. And there is nothing that can block me from peace but me. Because the devil has no authority to do it. God won't. The devil can't. The only person that's restricting the peace flow in my life would be me. And the only thing I have to do to get rid of the blockage is remove sin. Live a righteous life. Agree with my righteousness. Now, you have to stop seeing everything that God says turn loose as a loss. Too many of God's people hear God. I'm listening with expectancy to hear what God says. Okay, God said, turn that loose. Oh, I can't do that. So what you just told God is, I don't need any peace in this area. But I guarantee you, the thing that you're holding on to, that you won't turn loose, it's going to destroy whatever it is. It's going to destroy. And then you're going to end up losing it anyway. You'll end up losing it anyway. So I've stopped seeing what God asked me to turn loose of as a loss. I'll start seeing it as a gain because I believe God loves me. And if God says turn this loose, I do not care if I don't understand it. If God says let go of it, then obviously I need to let it go. I know he loves me. Now, it don't always have to be sin. Let me say this. You're wanting, because remember the scripture says that we need to get rid of every weight, sin and weight that's easily entangling our lives. Now, he called one a sin, one's a weight. It doesn't necessarily mean you're sinning. It just means it's a hindrance to your life. So now, It's a hindrance to your peace. So now you're praying and asking God for financial increase. Lord, I'm noticing here that I don't have peace in this area, and our finances are just out of control right now. See, I need for peace to be still. So God gonna say, turn loose some of that money. Turn them seeds loose. Oh, I can't do that. I need that to pay the bills. But are the bills getting paid with it? See, if you're having a financial problem, what you got ain't paying the bills anyway. Or you wouldn't have a financial problem. But see, God understands the system. Turn it loose, and then I can work in your life. So he says, turn it loose. Let them tithes go. Let them tithes out of that wallet. Go on, let some of them seeds hit the ground. So I can get some peace into your life. But you got to be willing to be obedient to what he tells you to do. And sometimes it's not easy to do what he says do, but you have to do it anyway. All right? Oh, let me get through this here. So it says that you have to walk like Jesus walked, live like Jesus lived. And Jesus lived a sin-free life. And everyone would say, well, yeah, but he was the Son of God. He should have been able to do it. Hold on. Wait 1 minute. Hold on. Wait 1 second. Who are you? Yeah, but God, yeah. He was God in the flesh. All right. Who are you? Because the same thing that made Jesus the Son of God is the same thing that makes you the son or a daughter of God. God never called Jesus his son until the Holy Spirit, after he was baptized, and the Holy Spirit as a dove descended. Then he said, this is my well-beloved son who I'm well-pleased. That was a symbolizing of him receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, when you got born again, what happened? God's Spirit moved in. You received the Holy Spirit. So you're the exact same way, exact same person that was built just like Jesus was. So you have the ability to live a sin-free life. Or God wouldn't have never said so. God would have never told you don't let sin reign if you didn't have the ability not to let it reign. All right? So now, we have peace. God is speaking peace to us. The whole point in sending Jesus was to get our peace back. The whole point is man didn't have peace, and God wanted us to have our peace back. So Jesus agreed. Love and truth have met together, and they agreed. But now notice something here. This agreement was made before the foundation of the world. Because the Bible says that Jesus was the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. So God already had made up Jesus the Word, and God the Father had already decided, if man blow it, we got it covered. I'm going to go down there and take care of it myself, Daddy. I mean, that's just how much he loved us and just how serious God is about you living a life of peace. Now, just write 1 John 3 and 5 down, and you can read when you get home. But it says that the whole point Jesus manifested, showed up, was to undo what Satan did. 1 John 3rd chapter, verse 5. Jesus was manifested, born into this earth to undo what Satan had did. What did Satan do? He robbed us of our peace. He robbed Adam and Eve of their peace. And as a result of it, every man, every woman born, every boy and girl born into this earth was born without their peace. And Jesus was manifested to get your peace back. Whole reason why he showed up is so that you could live a life of peace again and take that peace and control everything that goes on around you. I thank God for that. Glory to God. I give him praise that he loved me enough to come give me back my authority. That he came and put the decision of whether I live and die back in my hands. He took it out of the devil's hands and put the authority and the right for me to live a life of peace back in my control. Not someone controlling me, but me controlling what's going on around me. And I thank God for that. You ought to get excited about that God loves you enough to put the control back in your hands. Instead of someone always lording over you, telling you when to get up, telling you when to sit down, the devil telling you what you can do, what you can't do. No, God is giving you the authority back to tell Satan to shut up and what he can do. He spoke peace unto us. Now, Isaiah, the 9th chapter here. Let's look at that. Isaiah chapter number 9. Verse 2 says, the people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. This is a prophetical word here talking about Jesus. They've seen a great light. They that dwell in the land and of the shadow of death, upon that them has the light shined. So that was us. We were walking in darkness. We were down here. It wasn't the shadow at first. It was the land of death. But because of what Jesus has done, it's just only a shadow now, because Satan no longer has power of death anymore. There's no more death any. Death is not ruling anymore. Because Jesus made it out of hell and took all the authority of hell away. So now that light has shined on us. The whole reason Jesus come is for us to get peace back. And now that Jesus has come, his point and his desire is to restore completeness, restore soundness back unto his people. And he's done that for me, and he's done it for you. Now, verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Now, the child is going to be born as the son that was given. Who gave up a son? God. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. Now notice his name. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. His name also shall be called Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Notice, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Shalom. He's the Prince of it. Of the increase of his government. Now let's look at this word government. What is his government? It is called the kingdom of God. That's his governing system. The kingdom of God is his governing system. What is the authority? What gives a person authority in the kingdom of God? Well, if you go over to the book of Hebrews and look at the first chapter there, it says that, talking to Jesus, says, oh God, thy throne has been established forever. And then talk about his scepter is a scepter of righteousness. So righteousness is the authority of the kingdom. Without righteousness, you have no authority in this kingdom. Now, righteousness covers a big area. But unless you have it, you don't have any peace. You have no right to peace. Because the Prince of Peace is the Prince of Peace over his kingdom. He's not the Prince of Peace over the kingdom of darkness. He's the Prince of Peace over the kingdom of God. Now it says, and of the increase of the kingdom of God and peace. So as the kingdom of God, as your mental perception, as your eyes focus on, perceive and begin to understand, as the understanding of the kingdom that you live in and the kingdom that dwells within you expands, guess what happens? Your peace expands. You said, how do you get to that equation there? How do you come up with that solution there? Didn't the Prince of Peace, Jesus, say in Matthew, the 6th chapter, don't worry about nothing, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and everything that's lacking will be what? Added unto you. Wholeness. So as I increase my capacity to understand and operate in the kingdom, I expand and increase my capacity for peace. So when you see a person whose lives are flourishing in God, then you're looking at a person that understands the kingdom. And they're functioning in it. And the kingdom is functioning in them. See, when you see a person that does not understand the kingdom, they don't have, things are missing. For years, we didn't understand the kingdom of God. For years, we weren't taught about the kingdom of God. We didn't have any understanding about the kingdom of God system. So we didn't fool with the kingdom of God system. But the results of that was we had little peace. Whole lot was missing. Whole lot was broken. But the more God is expanding our understanding of kingdom rights, kingdom principles, covenant provision, as we begin to increase and grow in the knowledge of the kingdom, then what is happening in our lives? Peace is expanding. Because now I know that if I'm going to change something in my life, I got to sow a seed. Now, the seed begins with the word seed. And in order for me to change something, I got to, first of all, sow word seed. Now, when you start talking about word seed, you're talking about the kingdom. And now that I'm sowing word seed into the kingdom soil, which is my heart, see, my expansion of understanding how the kingdom work is growing, is growing, is growing. But as I continue to work the kingdom system, peace is being expanded. That's why I don't have to worry about what I'm going to eat. I don't have to worry about what we're going to wear. I don't have to worry about where we're going to live. I don't have to worry about anything. All I have to be concerned with is the kingdom and my righteousness. Because as long as I'm living righteously, peace has already been spoken to me. And God has already said, I've already spoken, and my word will produce like it is supposed to produce. Now, if you've already spoken peace and your word produced like it says it's supposed to produce, then I just need to get in line with what you've spoken. That's the kingdom. That's righteousness. So of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. So that means there is no end to your peace because there is no end to his governing system. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with just judgment and with justice from henceforth forever and ever, the zeal of the Lord will perform it. That word judgment there, God's and justice, the word justice is translated righteousness. God's judgments are always judgments of righteousness. Always. So when God judges you, as a righteous individual, you should be excited because it means peace is coming. He just got through saying over in over there in Psalms 85 that the sins have been removing and he's not angry with us anymore. And this covenant of peace has now come and I'm speaking it over you. So now what it just said there is, and it just said right here that when he comes to judge you, don't get nervous. Accept it. It's a righteous judgment. It's going to be favorable for you. The only time a judgment is not favorable for you is when Satan's doing it. Because it's going to condemn you. But anytime God shows up and starts judging, get excited because God is trying to get peace in an area. Stop getting nervous. You know, I notice everyone. Y'all don't think I noticed this, but I noticed this. If after church, I say, come here, let's talk, and we got to go in the room, everybody get nervous. Oh, I got to go behind the door. Well, hold on. Do you believe God loves you? Now, you know why you feel that way? I'm going to tell you why you feel that way. Because the first thing pop in your mind is all the stuff you don't did. Oh, I did that, and oh, man, huh, I did that, and I did that. Hold on, you sin conscious. That's a sin conscious person. God said, don't be sin conscious, be righteous minded. The pastor come tap you on the shoulder and said, let's talk. Well, if I know I'm in a snare, obviously he's getting ready to tell me how to get out. Whoo, let's hurry up and get in this room so I can find out how to get free. I ain't gonna take you in there and beat you. Now, come on in here, let me get these switches out. Nah, God love you. So now of the increase of his government and peace, there is no end. Jesus has come to get this peace back into your life. Now, John 14 and 27, you can write that down. We know what that says. We've read it many times. Jesus says, my peace I've given, not as the world give I unto you. So since I've given you my peace, don't let your heart be troubled. The Amplified Bible says, don't get agitated and disturbed, and start shrinking away and being cowardly in fear. I've given you my peace. You don't have anything to be afraid of. Wholeness is with you. Wholeness dwells on the inside of you. And if wholeness is with you, Who are you going to be afraid of? So what? You're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Who's with you? God's with you. And if God's with you, and I heard someone say he's the biggest and bad, he's the biggest, baddest thing in the valley. So who can stand up against him? Psalms 91 proves it says that no foe can withstand his power. So if God's with me, I don't care which valley I walk through. I got peace. That's why Jesus could get up out of the bow of that boat and walk up there and everybody else falling apart. He can walk up there and say, peace be still. I know who with me. Obviously, I haven't figured it out yet. And what was sad about that, he had spent the whole day teaching on faith. Now, let's look at one more thing here. And I'm going to have to stop here. And we'll pick it up here on Sunday. But let's look at this. Jesus has come to restore this completeness, to restore this soundness back unto our life. Now, let's look at Galatians chapter 3 here. We're going to close here for today. And we'll pick it up here next week. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 13 says, Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses every man that hangs on the tree. Now understand one thing. When the curse is in operation, it is removing things. It is killing things, destroying things. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse's power. So meaning that curse no longer has a right to you anymore unless you go and walk out back under it again. So now Christ has redeemed you from what is covered underneath the curse. In short, sickness and disease, lack and poverty, and death. Christ has removed you, redeemed, taking you out of that curse. So he's taking you out of sickness and disease. That's why he can say, that's why the word can say, by his stripes, I am, not I will be, I am made whole. Because I'm redeemed. That's why you ought to be able to open your mouth up and say, no, bless God. I am blessed and highly favored because he has removed me out of lack and poverty. Amen. See, that's why the word of God says, above all, wish thou prosper and be in health. Mm-hmm. So you've been removed out of that. That's why you're not lying where he says, bless God, I'm going to live forever. I got life good on the inside of me because he's taking you out of death, spiritual death. So I've been removed from the curse so that the blessing of Abraham might come on me, a Gentile, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, the reason Jesus has redeemed you from the curse is so that you can receive the blessing of Abraham and get the promise that was promised to him. Now, you didn't know what was promised. And I guarantee you it was peace. So now, if Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law by becoming the curse for me, so that the blessing of Abraham could come into my life, and I might receive through that empowerment, that promise that was made to him. What was the promise? What did God promise Abraham? Because whatever God promised Abraham, I got a right to now. That's what the word just said, didn't it? And everything that God is speaking to me is concerning peace. So obviously the promise has to do with my peace. So let's look and see what the promise is. Look at Romans chapter 4. And we'll end it here. I think this is a good place to end it. Give me something to think about all week. Bless God, you mean to tell me that? And I'll go look at that again. Now it says so that the blessing of Abraham might come on you and that you might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What was promised to Abraham? What did the Spirit promise him? Verse 13. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness which is of faith. What was the promise? That you're supposed to inherit everything. All this belongs to you. Didn't we begin out saying that God says he's dealt favorably with the land because he brought his people back, has gotten back into the hands of the right people? Well, here's the promise. God has promised Abraham that he would be an heir of everything, the whole world. So now anything and everything that has anything to do with this world, anything that's been created, anything that's here, all the resources, all the supplies, everything, you have a right to them because you've inherited it. It's yours. It's your peace. It's what his covenant has provided for you and I. Whatever you need, there is resources available for you. Now, in heaven, everything that God has ever said belonged to you has already been earmarked with your name on it. It is there. On earth, the equivalent of it is here in this planet. When you appropriate what's already been appropriated for you in heaven, it has to move around down here on the earth and get into your hands. Now, God's not dropping Mercedes out of heaven, but there's some Mercedes here on this earth. But in heaven, it says Marlon Brown has requested. Now, this is my son who is living a righteous life because I've declared him righteous, has requested a Mercedes Benz. He said, that's not true. It is. Psalms 45:1. It says, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. So I've requested, and it's been wrote. And daddy said, approved. So now around here somewhere, there's a Mercedes Benz with my name on it, and I'm pulling it towards me with my faith. Now, what do you need? Because God has already supplied all of your needs, whatever they may be, according to his riches, not what you got down here on the earth, but his riches in glory is already been appropriated for you. All he's waiting on for you to do is come sign the check and get it. Stop talking about what you don't have. Start talking your peace and start pulling your peace towards you. That's why you say, oh, he just stand up there and run his mouth talking about he's going to be driving that Mercedes Benz. No, I'm not. I signed my check and I got a Mercedes on the way. The Bible says, whatever you pray for, believe you receive it, you have it. And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we pray anything that's in agreement with his word, he hears us. And if I know he hears me, I know I have a petition that I asked for when I asked it. I received it. Bless God, my mortgage is paid in full. Peace, come to that mortgage. Remember I said on last week, seek peace on it. Peace, you got to come work. We got seeds out there. I got stuff hung out there. I got my faith hung. You know, I heard something on I was listening to some tapes, and Kenneth Copeland said he was over. Now, think about this. When a person mentions Kenneth Hagin's name, right away you're like, oh, he's a father. He's one of the fathers of faith, one of the foundational patriarchs that got faith started again in the United States. But he was talking. He said that he went over to Kenneth Hagin's house, and I forgot his wife's name there, and they were eating, they were sitting on milk crates, eating off of paint tops. They had paint can tops, that's what they had for plates, sitting on milk crates. And said that his wife came in and said, you know, Kenneth, I need for you to help me to bleed for some curtains. And the man turned around and told him, nah, baby, you got to bleed for them curtains yourself. He said, I got enough hung on my faith that it can stand. And if I hang anything else on it, it may fall over. I mean, they're eating on milk crates, eating off of paint cans. And this man's believing everything he can believe. They pull it in. And do you think when he passed and left and went on to heaven, I guarantee they wouldn't eat off milk crates then. He got a whole college sitting down there. He believed with his faith and is there. But this man started out on a milk crate with a paint can top. How'd he get it? Faith. He pulled it in. So I'm not standing up here making confession just to be having something nice and cute to say. No, I'm working on something because there's some peace going on. There's some peace, some areas that that's lacking this peace. And peace got to be still in that area. Come here. And I'm pulling it in. And I'm teaching you guys how to pull it in. Look in your life. What's missing? Pull it in. You got a right to it. He's speaking peace to you. Now listen to hear what he's saying. Because whatever he says is going to produce the peace. But you got to be willing, obedient, and do it. Now, bless God, it's coming. I've already got it. I'm just waiting for it to show up. And this morning in prayer, I said, well, Father, whoever you've already told to favor me, angels, go get them. I was praying one day about that mortgage. I said, Father, look, your word said that if I would touch and agree with somebody here on this earth, that whatever we agreed upon, you would do it. Now, me and my wife stood down there in Fort Worth, Texas, on Eagle Mountain Church International, and we touched and agreed that our mortgage was paid in full. And we agreed with all those people in that place, and there was enough faith in that place to blow up the devil and his kingdom five times over. Now, what's going on? You know what he said back to me? I've already told somebody to take care of it. Don't worry about it. But now, God has to work through people. And sometimes the other person on the other end don't want to do it. But God's trying to God's always working twofold. He's trying to get them blessed and always taking care of your stuff too. And you got to give him his time to work. Now, what I do know about God, if they just get started and mule-headed, he'll move on. I'm still going to get my stuff paid, but he got to give them their opportunity too. But thank you, Father, whoever it is, I pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, whoever it is, whatever's hitting them, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Devil, get off of them so they get their blessing and my mind can come too. See, I'm working on something. I ain't got time to be sitting up here worried about what's missing and what I don't have and, oh, God, this is wrong. And I'm crying and whining. Well, hold on. Crying and whining is not going to change nothing. Focusing on what's wrong is not going to get it done. You want something changed, you better see another picture and speak something new. So that's what I'm doing. And I'm telling you, you will see it. You will see it. Let God's word be true. And every other man a liar, that I might be declared righteous, correct, and in right standing with God in my sayings, and I will be an overcomer when judgment comes. Because you'll see it. You'll see it. Bless God. You'll see it. So God's speaking peace to his people. Remember, he's speaking peace to his people. Righteousness, well, mercy or love and truth have met together and agreed. Righteousness and peace can't be separated. And Jesus said that his kingdom, there's no end, and there's no end to his peace. So what's missing in your life? Go to work on it. God is speaking peace to you. Amen. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your word on today concerning your peace. We believe we have it. We believe we've been born, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew to live, operate, and move in peace. Now, your word said that you're speaking.